be like, click here to end.
Warning. Or like, cat lovers only, click here. But I'm not even worried about a skeleton. Like,
I think you should be worried about skeletons. But the virus could, in fact, help preserve them more, longer.
No, that's impossible.
When did you become a ninja where you can just climb anything?
Maybe I would try to launch a couple chairs at the tiger.
There's a lot. Look, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm a great writer here, but look.
You don't see me going up into the Himalayan mountains and trying to pretend I'm a Yeti, man. That's just not going to happen.
And that's probably a wrong fact, but I think that's true.
The answer is probably no. But do you think we're good enough? Which is why the answer is probably no. Do you think we're good enough to, improv? And so the answer is no. But so what my idea was, we would review a movie or a television show that never happened.
What are you talking about?
I would say, hey man, did you catch last night's episode of the Scary Closet or whatever? Like, I don't know. I'm not even good enough to score the title.
Right.
Of the improv.
Already we've hit a wall.
But hey, have you seen this? And you'd say, oh yeah, it was really good. I liked when this happened. And then I would say, yeah, I couldn't believe this, or what did you think about that? And we would be basically making up an entire show without any.
Yeah, but what do you know about improv?
I don't know. I know. Yes, and that's it. But I'm saying, I thought it's a funny idea. I thought that'd be a funny idea. Build this you wouldn't know what was going on. You just have to be everything would be, yeah, that happened and that happened. Sure. And you know what I mean? It's always the yes and. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think improv is more than yes. I mean, the thing is you know, we have a couple of people. We have an acting class, which is the Meisner technique, which is interesting. And then one of our senior faculty members, is big time with UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
So he does a lot of work for them, but also, you know, did stuff with them as an improv person.
Yeah.
And so he brings a lot of there's stuff you learn. I mean, there's the Herald, which is an improv whole way of improving. You ever heard of the Herald?
No, I don't know what anything.
All right, see, this is what I'm saying. It's tough.
I don't understand.
How you're just like,
no,
oh,
you know
let's
what?
Just go improv stuff.
It's like,
and
no,
you're like,
it's
oh,
like
it's like a
thing.
Serious thing.
You know, it's like, in order to do anything cool, you have to study it for years upon years. Like, why can't you just have a good time doing something? Like, we used to make movies. We weren't taking freaking directing and movie making classes. We just went out and said, hey, this is how we're going to make a movie. And they were fun and interesting and enjoyable.
Listen,
do you have to take a class about improv?
Let me back up and say, I'm not this improv. First of all, I'm not an improv genius. Second of all, I'm not defending improv. I mean,
sounds like you
the
are.
Biggest joke in the world is oh, I got to go to an improv, you know, my friend's in improv, whatever. Actually, I do have a friend in improv. But it's – all I'm saying is some things seem easier than when you actually go out and do it. For example, we tried to make a movie, didn't we? And I said, this is going to be hard. And everybody was like, no, we can do it in 3 hours. We'll improv. And what happened?
I didn't know. I did not want to. I wrote the script. There was an actual script. It was a good script.
There was half a script. The script was halfway done.
The ending was easy. You improv the ending. It's easy.
Anyway, what I'm saying is I don't have a lot of improv experience. It seems very easy. Yes and. Right?
No.
There's got to be more to it.
No. I understand that it's difficult because you have to be you have to kind of commit to everything, which is not easy to do, obviously. But I was thinking maybe.
You end up looking like a fool. That's what I don't like.
Yeah, you do end up looking like a fool. That's part of it, though.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Forget that idea then.
I mean, I think it would be a good idea. I think I like I like the idea of improv a lot. I'm just like, we just don't do it enough.
Yeah. It might be, you might need more than two people too. Like, it might be more fun with like three people. And like, I mean, one person would ask questions like, hey, how did you feel about Noah's father that mysteriously came into the room, right, or something? So
we already established you're not asking the questions, obviously.
No, that's right. I, you know what? I was just putting this out there as an idea. I'm just putting it out there as an idea. What I don't like, here's what I don't like. Let me tell you this. I don't like being told, you can't try this idea because you haven't gone to school or you haven't learned enough about improv to like, why do I need to be schooled in improv to try it out?
I'm not saying you have to be like an expert improvist, but what I am saying is that there are people who have done this. This is for anything. This is what drives me crazy about YouTube and filmmakers, right? They're like, oh, just because I have a camera and can put something on YouTube, that means I'm a filmmaker. No, you're not. You want to know why? Because everything you shoot is a medium shot or a wide shot. And that's not filmmaking.
Right.
Just because you go into a situation where you have the tools and think you know doesn't mean that you're going to be good at it. Now,
should no one ever try anything unless you first get like years of schooling? Like, why can't I just have fun and do something? Why can't I just go out and film something? Like, stuff.
I know. I would make the argument that filmmaking is a bad example of like years of schooling because, especially in this day and age, you can literally pick up a camera or pick up your phone and record anything you want. But what I would argue is that you have to know a certain basic language, just like anything, right? If you go out and try improv, that's fine. But if you don't know that, it's yes and.
Yeah.
And that's a generalization because I don't know all of improv techniques, but I know the yes and thing. So if you would go out and there's a no and, that doesn't really work, and you'd have crappy improv.
I really enjoy like what I think is hilarious, and this just may be my thing. Like, I've heard when people do like improv, and I'm not talking about the people you just go see at Comedy Sports or whatever. I'm talking about like podcasts or like people who've done this for a long, long period of time.
I think it's
so funny. What's that?
That's the
key.
Well,
yeah, it's key. Like in anything, if you're going to make something really good.
Yeah.
But like I always enjoy.
However,
like
we have been doing the Shotcast for a really long time. It has not improved one bit. So.
Well, what I'm saying is like what I really enjoy is like when someone's like really on something and they're really like on a topic and they're going and they go to the other person like and they're looking for a yes and the other person's like, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. Like it just like stops it and cuts it. I always think that's pretty hilarious.
I don't think that's hilarious at all.
I think it is really funny, like if done like in a really good way. Like
I guess maybe done in a really good way, but then that just takes out of – I mean I don't know.
I know because you're basically like – it's basically like saying this person's like put a lot of work into this and like they think they're really on a roll. They put a lot of like effort into making this like this point or this like whole story and you're just like, no, that's horrible. That's not even close to what is good. And I think it stops it and it makes it very funny. Well, it doesn't matter. Like, why am I talking about comedy? I'm like, I know nothing about comedy.
Yeah. Obviously.
The Shotcast is a great example of that.
See, this is perfect. This is a perfect example. Like, I don't know. Perhaps there is a podcasting school that people go to. But we have not gone to that school. And you can see that the Shotcast has stayed at the same level the entire run, which has been like, how many years has the Shotcast been going?
I don't know, but I would argue that there are some pretty good Shotcasts. It's not like we've just made like all super lame ones. Yeah, there are lame ones. This one might be a super lame one.
This one's turning out to be one of the lamest.
But yeah, we've made some good stuff there.
Yeah.
I would actually make the argument the beginning Shotcasts were better than the ones that are later.
I would say the very first Shotcast was the best one ever.
Yeah, we should have stopped when we were ahead. We
should have just stopped at the first one. I mean, we actually got the very first one. We had somebody write a review that we didn't know that was like, hey, everybody check this podcast out because it's awesome.
You know, that's because we were on iTunes. Like, we're just not on iTunes anymore.
I don't know. We got some really bad iTunes reviews. The one I remember is like, I gave you a chance and you put me to sleep or something like that.
Maybe that was what we were trying to do.
I don't think we've ever tried to put anybody to sleep.
Wow. A lot of people listen to podcasts or podcasts when they go to sleep. So,
well, maybe. Anyway, yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, we don't promote it.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Is like a little gem. I mean, we were podcasting before podcasting was, you know, the thing to
we're
do.
The hipsters. We're the hipsters of podcasting.
I mean, I would say we're. I don't know what you are before you're a hipster, but that's who we are.
We should get on one of those networks. There's a bunch of networks out there now.
We should have started our own network.
Oh, man.
We don't know anybody else doing podcasts. That's the problem.
We don't really know a lot of people, I think. That's the problem.
The problem is we are on an island. We just don't know anybody in the podcasting community. Nor, you know what? Even if we did, we're elitists. We've never reached out to anybody and be like,
that's true.
Hey, you do podcasts too. Like, let's be podcast buddies.
Yeah, I don't know if that's elitist. That's just like, I just don't. There's other things. Here's the problem. Like, there's other things that take up my time. And a podcast, I have not committed to podcasting. That's all. Yeah. And there are people that do. There are lots of people that commit to the YouTube stuff. I can't believe YouTube. It's craziness.
Yeah. It's all about making commitment. And we just don't. So,
look, we're at, like I've said, we're idea men. We come up with the ideas.
That's our someone problem. Else
can, someone else can run with it.
Yeah. Well, someday we'll make a commitment to the Shodcast. And really, if it hasn't happened in how many years have we been on? Six. We got to be doing this at least 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Maybe more. When did we start? I got this computer. I just looked. I got this computer in 2007. And we were probably shodcasting, if not around 2007, 2008. It's 2016. That's 8 years.
Yeah.
8 years of being on the Shodcast, broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. How long have you been married?
Not 8 years.
Yes, I was gonna say. Like, Heidi and I have been married. We're almost 10, but like
I've been shodcasting longer than I've been married.
Yeah.
In the time that we were shodcasting, I got married. I have a kid.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Yeah.
And yet I've never made the commitment to the podcast.
You know what? Yeah. Me neither. So
there we are.
Anyway, what I was going to say before you got me distracted was that you have heard the story. You've heard the story about the person in China.
And at first, I'll tell you this. At first, the story, I was like, kind of like, whatever. But as I read it, it is horrifying.
Oh, like, I was – when I first saw it, I emailed it to you and was like, hey, we should do a Shodcast on being trapped in an elevator. Spoiler alert, in China – let me give you the backstory. In China, there was this person that used an elevator – and got trapped in the elevator, and no one ever came back to fix the elevator. Like, it was just like, I imagine in some abandoned building. I don't know why the person was there. I don't know anything about why this person went into the elevator, but they were trapped in the elevator and died and passed away in the elevator.
Yeah.
And when I first read that, I was like,
you forgot an important part. It was a month.
No, but so this is what
I'm down the elevator. And then a month later, they came back to fix the elevator. It was not an abandoned building. It was a building with people living in it.
Oh, okay. So that's even – now it's even – but my point is, like, when I first read it, I was like, oh, we should do a Shodcast about what happens if you're trapped in an elevator. But then when you read the horrifying and, like, it must be – it must have been completely, like, some sort of crazy, torturous, like, like – unbelievably claustrophobic, like, experience. Like, I don't know if it's not very funny. I'll tell you that.
It's not very funny. And I don't know what kind of elevator it was. I mean, I've been in many different elevators. I've been in big freight elevators where you, like, you close the gates and manually. And then I've been in, like, little tiny rickety elevators.
Sure, you don't have to brag about it. We know you've been in elevators, man.
So I'm just saying I have a little I'm saying I have a little bit of elevator experience is what
okay,
I'm saying.
All right.
And there's an elevator in my building at work, which I never use. But after the story, I walked in there and it's like a normal sized elevator, meaning like mm-hmm. you could get like, you know, 10 people in there all crammed up.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, what would happen is if this elevator, because I've also seen the movie Speed. Speed in the very beginning is about elevators.
Yeah. Yeah. Trapped, yeah. Right? Right.
And he uses this multi-tool to like pry the elevator doors open.
That's what I'm saying. Every movie and or TV show that I've ever seen seems like it's not that difficult. There always seems to be some sort of escape hatch.
There's an escape.
Like,
here's
you
the
just
thing.
Open the doors.
So I looked for one, whether the how the doors closed, and the doors didn't close in the middle. It closed like from one side across the other side. So now,
oh,
like,
I've never seen that.
So my multi-tool idea from Speed wouldn't have been that successful,
right?
And I don't even know if that would work. And then so I was like, oh, well, I'll just escape out the hatch on the top.
Right.
Everybody
is. Yeah, the escape hatch. Yeah.
And I had to look really hard even to see where I might be able to escape. And then I remembered, oh, wait, there's no light in the elevator if the power goes out.
Yeah.
So I would be in the dark, totally in the dark. Maybe I would have like a... those generator lights go on, like those battery operated lights, if I'm lucky.
Maybe.
But if this is a place in China where they just turn off elevators for a month, then I don't know if those lights would be on.
Yeah.
So now I'm in the dark, trapped in an elevator, and there's just literally no way out. And in this horrifying description of this woman who got trapped there with just, I mean, it must have been a horror show.
They said her hands, her fingers were mangled.
Yes.
That is –
I don't know gets you – I mean, I've never been trapped in an elevator.
No, me neither.
But I don't know the state that you're in when you start just trying to claw your way through metal.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like I also – like the elevators that I take to work, I go up 19 floors every day. And I got into the elevator and I started looking around. Like the elevator that I get into, it closes. So there is a gap or there's a line down the middle. The mm-hmm. two sides of the doors close and meet in the middle. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I could probably pry those open.
With what?
With my hands, I guess. I don't know. I didn't actually try to open it.
Well, that's why your hands get mangled.
Well, that's what I assumed. Also, I had keys, so I thought maybe I could stick a key in there or something
please.
Like that. I'm just saying. I'm thinking of these things. And then I was like, oh, well, let me just look at the top, like where the escape hatch is. Because I just figured there'd be like
where
a handle
escape catch
or
is.
Like I figured there'd be something there. Like maybe I'd need a screwdriver or something. But I look up and it's just like – it's like solid.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'm going to have to like pull down this like metal – to me, it looked like there was a metal facade, and then like behind that may have been the top. I have no idea.
Yeah, but the first of all, listen, spoiler alert, you're short.
Yeah,
how are you going to reach up top there?
Okay, so I did think about that. There is a rail. There's like a side railing on the back of the elevator.
Yeah, have you ever tried to get up on that side railing?
I mean, no, but it's not something that looked to me that I would not be able to do.
No, I don't think you could do it. The side railing comes out like 2 inches.
Yeah, it would have been enough for me to purchase my foot on there.
I don't think. What are you going to – no.
Yeah, I'm not even concerned about getting my foot on the rail. That's not even the concerning part. That part is already – I'm not even thinking about that. It's done.
This is what I want you to do on Monday. On Monday, I want you to go in and try to stand on that railing.
Okay, let me
on the corner. That's what I'm talking about. The corner where you have a little bit better chance to stand. You're not going to stand up on that because you're not going to get up.
Yeah, look, you can. I mean, it's like waist high, so like you can just even if I had trouble, like I could get my foot up there and just like kind of like jump using my momentum and hit the
seat and hit the top.
I'm talking about getting my foot on the railing and just kind of like push, like jumping with my other foot and then grabbing a top, like grabbing the top of the elevator.
No.
Because there's a little facade.
I want you to do this on Monday because I don't think you can do it.
I mean, that part doesn't even concern me because it can be done. That's doable.
Okay, what's the next step?
Well, my issue is I don't want to try it on Monday because Heidi had said, and I don't know if this is true, but Heidi says there are cameras in every elevator.
Like, well, it's like I'm probably in your building, yes, but there's not. I don't think there's a camera in my
building. Not the one in China, obviously, but I think most elevators have cameras in them.
Well, I mean, you'll be able to see the camera. Where's the
camera?
No,
I've looked for that camera.
Then I bet they don't have a camera. Not all elevators have cameras. What are you, a casino? Like, if you're in a casino, there's going to be a camera. Because people start beating people up
But like hotels have cameras in there?
Sure. But not your building.
Well, maybe. But I don't want to be looking like a crazy person jumping up on my – because it's doable. It can be done. Now I'm going to be up there and someone's going to
question. Let's say you can get up there. Then what are you going
to do? So then I'd have to like rip down the top of the elevator because that's what I'm assume is hiding the escape hatch.
You're going to be stuck in that elevator.
That is really the scary part. How long can you live without water? You've said this
3 days. I mean, you can live longer, but like the saying is you can live in harsh conditions 3 minutes without air, oxygen, 3 hours without shelter, if it's like, you know, adverse conditions.
But wait, time out. What, like 3 hours without shelter? Like,
if you're in the elements, it's like a major snowstorm.
Okay, like snowstorm.
Or if like,
but not like a thunderstorm or something.
No, but I'm saying like if you're in extreme elements,
like snow or like volcano,
desert or whatever.
Yeah.
Three days without water. 3 weeks without food. I think. 3 months without food. 3 weeks. 3 weeks without food.
I think it's awfully convenient that all of these are three.
I think it's just a rule of thumb, one of those rule of thumb things.
Well, so this woman probably was only there for 3 days. But still, I mean, that's a long time to be in one spot in the complete darkness.
I mean, three horrible, horrible days. I mean,
yeah.
I don't even want to think about it because, I mean, first of all, like if you get to the point where you're mangling your hands trying to get out, I mean, I think of like this elevator is some horror show as far as I'm concerned.
So it's not a great topic to talk about on the Chatcast. That's what I'm saying.
but what I am saying is, I mean, I have a multi-tool on me.
Yeah.
And I have a flashlight. I always carry a little flashlight on me.
Yeah.
So I think I would do pretty well.
I
totally give up hope within, you know, day two. I mean, when you're at day two, you got to be like, this is it.
I think the whole mentality you're supposed to have in a survival situation is like, just keep going on, like keep taking that step. I think you have to keep working at it.
If you're in an elevator in China, I don't know. I think you can pretty much be like, well, this is the end. You know, in a past life, I got buried in an avalanche.
That's right.
We know this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I felt so much peace and stillness and quiet in that.
Yeah.
That I think I was okay. You know, there's the acceptance that happens. So I think if you walk into an elevator in China, you have to be just okay with your life.
You have to be accepting that this could be your last. This could be your last 3 days.
Yeah. So that when you have a past experience in another life and you go back to that time where you were trapped in an elevator for, we can say a month, but really we know it's 3 days.
Yeah.
You can have some peace, I think. I think that's the key. I think in any situation that you go into, from now on, you got to be like, okay, if I'm looking this through my past lives, I want to at least have a good experience.
So anytime you step on an elevator, it could be your last.
Could be your last. And you know what? Have some peace in that.
I think this – honestly, I think this is the first time that you have not come up with a solution. I mean, I can remember with even when we had the tiger in the zoo, you came up with some solutions. I mean, it's like the elevator. That's it. There's nothing. Like you're like basically in a coffin.
Well, you're riding a
coffin.
Me.
I ride a coffin every day, essentially.
It just struck me as so horrible. I mean, it just was like, how can you even – I mean, what I'm saying, what do you want me to do? I walk around with a multi-tool and a flashlight, and I do have a little pry bar every once in a while if I remember that bag. But that's – like I don't carry a crowbar around with me, and I can't. And so sometimes it's just like ever since my past life experience, I've had some acceptance in things.
I really – what it's taught me is that I really need to like carry a go bag with me. I wish it was socially acceptable to carry some sort of like bag.
You can carry a bag. No one, I don't know.
It looks weird. I'm not talking a purse. I'm talking even just a bag or something. Looks weird.
I don't know. I carry a backpack all the time. And that's what I was saying. For a while there, I was having my stuff in there, although I didn't have extra water. I mean, that's the key, really.
See, I carry a backpack with me going to work and back. But it's all got stupid stuff. It's got like my workout clothes. They're not going to do me any good.
That's not going
to
help you. Let's look at what you
have. I got my lunch.
Was there anything that could have helped you in your bag to get out of that elevator?
That's true, because I probably would have had – okay, so I'm thinking about it. I have workout clothes.
You could work out.
Not going to be helpful. I could work out there. Keep my mind active.
Yeah.
I have my lunch, an insulated lunch box with usually lunch in it. So depending if I was coming or going –
I'd use that to capture your pee and drink it. You could live maybe day four.
Well, I carry my coffee, right? So I have a clean canteen, 12-ounce coffee insulated thermos type thing. So that's useful. That's a useful, you know, survival tool.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter unless you have some water to put in it. You're going to pee in it. You can only drink your pee once.
Look, I could use that. I could use it to like maybe – if I could flatten it, then I could use it as like a pry bar thing.
Oh, yeah. You just flatten it with the mallet that you carry with you.
I don't carry – I carry a – yeah, they're called my fists or my foot. I could stomp on it.
Yeah. And then what's going to happen is going to be like his foot was mangled along with his fist when we found him dead in the elevator.
What would happen was I'm sure once I step on it – it'll just like roll out and I'll like flip around, fall down.
Slice your foot and then bleed to death.
Open. Maybe I'll paralyze myself coming down. Okay. So on the in the top, I have a heart rate monitor, a heart rate monitor strap that I use when I
run. Watch yourself die. That's great.
I have a pair of sunglasses. I have an armband holder.
Useless.
I put my iPad in or iPod. Headphones? No, I can't do anything. Nothing. I've got nothing. I don't carry anything on me that would be of any use with anything.
Yeah.
I'm wasting all that storage. I need to start thinking about putting stuff in my bag.
Yeah, I gotta do that again. That's one thing. The other thing that I thought about is I gotta get an extra battery for my flashlight. Because you know, if you're in a situation like that, that's the time your battery is going to be like, oh, I'm going to die now.
Yeah.
So I got to carry an extra battery, which I think I can do. I carry a mini pry bar with me that's attached to my flashlight. But
sure.
That's probably not going to do anything.
How many times have you used a mini pry bar?
You'd be surprised.
I would be. You're exactly right. I would be. I'd be very surprised.
You know what? It's one of those things that, like the multi-tool, if you have it on you, you're going to find a use for it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing that I carry. People out in podcast land can't see that, but it's essentially a 2.5 little widget bar, 2.5 inches, maybe 3, and then a flashlight that's a little about 2 inches.
Phoenix?
Yeah.
And you turn it?
Phoenix, yeah, you turn it. I usually like the push button, but push button in your pants is just going to go on all the time.
What a push button in your pants, man.
It's the last thing you need. And then I have my multi-tool, and I have some fire starter magnesium.
Yeah, I have that stuff in the car. I keep all that stuff in the car.
I mean, maybe I just burn the elevator down.
Well, or you can't. It's all plastic. It's all metal.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea. I mean, even if you get out, what are you going to do? Like, first of all,
well, that's the thing.
Let's say you open the door. You're going to open the door into what? Nothing. A wall, most likely. Unless
you'll be able to see a top or bottom.
What do you mean?
Like the walls aren't.
There are times when you're going to be in between, and the worst will be if it's just a little crack of something and you can't get through it.
Yeah, but you can scream and shout. I mean, you're saying that this building is actually like people are in this building.
Yeah, that's true.
So if it was an abandoned building, yeah, you'd be out of luck. But I'm imagining. Look, I'm imagining like if you were to get on top of the elevator,
then what would you do? I don't think you could do anything.
It'd be a ladder. Isn't there a ladder?
It's pitch dark.
I mean,
and how big is the elevator shaft? I don't know what an elevator shaft is, but you could fall off the elevator, and I don't know. The whole thing seems not great.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you're kind of. I don't know. I'm gonna have to check it. I'm gonna do more research on my own elevator just in case.
Yeah, I looked at mine. I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, I hardly use the elevator. But when you have to use the elevator, don't do it in China or in a building that's abandoned, I guess.
Rules to live by.
Exactly right.
Rules to live by.
Don't use elevators in abandoned buildings and or China.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's end it with that piece of advice. That's the Shotcast for this week. I'm Brady.
I'm Brian.
Hold fast.